This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey, and we are quickly coming up on the one-year mark since the sudden closure of bars and restaurants across Illinois because of COVID-19. Overnight, keg sales were put on pause for the indefinite time being. Just like the rest of us, bar owners were optimistic that this closure would come quickly to an end and we would all return to our usual in-person activities, but without an With no end to the closures in sight, brewers began shifting from kegs to cans to reach their customers. And as they diverted their beer to cans early in the pandemic, by the time we reached summer, there were signs of a can shortage. As the demand has persisted, so has the shortage, and it's expected to linger at least for the first half of 21, and it's pushed some breweries to return to their roots by bottling their beer. With or without the can shortage, the pandemic has led to a tumultuous year for breweries, as it has for so many other businesses in Illinois and around the world. Joining us now from breweries across the state to talk about how they've been faring amid the pandemic are Anthony Benjamin, who is an owner and operator at Triptych Brewing in Savoy. Anthony, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
We're also joined by Nick Bowes, the president at Bent River Brewing Company in Rock Island. Nick, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us.
And Javier Lopez is co-founder and co-owner of Casa Humilde Cerveceria in Chicago. Javier, thanks for joining us.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
And listeners, we want to invite you to join our conversation at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Do you have a favorite local craft brewery? Maybe you've supported them during the pandemic. You can join the conversation again, 800-222-9455, or you can tweet us at 21st Show. Javier, I want to begin with you. Casa Humilde celebrated its one-year anniversary in November, I think, and that means that your brewery was only a few months old when the pandemic hit. How did you respond to the sudden closure of bars and restaurants last March, just months after opening?
It was pretty scary, you know, because very new, just a couple months in, and we just had to shift our direction, our sales, our draft line pretty much right up overnight. So we pretty much had to shift over everything to packaging, which was a big task just because that's not what we planned for. You know, we planned to have heavy draft sales, and that's just the way that was a big hit for sure.
Sure. And Anthony, I wonder, same question to you. Did you see your business model have to shift at all, or how did the pandemic affect Triptych?
Well, I mean, Triptych's always kind of been a packaging brewery from probably about a year and a half or so into our history. And so we've always been kind of putting beer into cans, but we've never done it to the extent that we've done it now. I mean, like he was saying, you know, draft beer and bars and all that, that's kind of the bread and butter for a lot of breweries. There's a lot better margins, but less packaging pieces that you have to put on into the product. And so that's your preference as a bigger brewery for sure, is as much draft as you possibly can do. And then cans kind of filling in the middle section. And then the tap room, of course, is becoming more and more like a third space for most breweries. And, you know, again, tap rooms were closed just like all the bars and restaurants. So everything is now in cans for us.
Did the closure of tap rooms last year hurt your business?
You know, about 40% or so of our business comes out of our tap room. I mean, it's a big kind of tourist draw. A lot of people want to come and see where the beer is made and hear the story of Triptych straight from our lips. And so when that's not open anymore, you kind of lose a really big part of marketing for a small, like really small breweries. You know, we're not going to have a Super Bowl ad to tell you about Triptych or why you should buy local beer. And so the tap room is a big part of that.
Yeah, no, definitely no Super Bowl ads. Nick, I want to bring you into the conversation. Bent River Brewing primarily depends on draft beer, as I understand it, at physical locations in the Quad Cities, as opposed to canning. How have you adapted to the closures of indoor food and drink locations in Illinois?
You know, back in November when we kind of got everything shut down and the rug pulled out from us, we were kind of just planning on, just shutting down operations and trying to make it through till springtime. But we were fortunate to land a couple of national beer of the month club orders. So that really kept my brewers working through December and January, and obviously kept some revenues coming in aside from just bottling beer for like our local grocery stores and whatnot.
So is your business shifting to doing more canning and bottling of its products in the future? Is that something that is now, do you think, going to become a bigger part of the business?
Yeah, you know, pre-pandemic, we've been bottling for the last 9 years. And pre-pandemic, we were planning on getting our own canning line. And then obviously that threw a little bit of a wrench in because we weren't generating the revenues that we needed to do that. But we are planning on here, once we get kind of semi back opened up for springtime, adding a small canning line into our repertoire so we can both bottle and can beer here.
Let me take a moment to reintroduce you to our listeners. If you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're checking in with craft breweries across Illinois to see how they've been doing almost a year into the pandemic. We're speaking with Nick Bowes, who's the president at the Bent River Brewing Company in Rock Island, Anthony Benjamin, who's the owner and operator of Triptych Brewery in Savoy, and Javier Lopez, who is the co-founder and co-owner of Casa Humilde in Chicago. And Javier, can you talk about how challenging was it to shift from, you know, planning to distribute mostly through kegs, draft beer, to trying to ramp up production of package sales?
Well, for us, it was a little bit difficult just because of the ability to get cans as well, because we're only planning to can a certain amount. Plus, we had the tap room too, and all we were for the tap room. But I would say it was pretty hard, you know, especially because we're in a collective. There's three other breweries that have production schedules too, so that could throw another wrench into it too, you know. So we have times allotted, brew schedule 2 months ahead of time. That definitely play a role for us.
Oh, interesting. So, yeah, and I wanted to ask you about that. So I understand you are a part, as you were just mentioning, a collective, the District Brew Yards Brewery Collective, if I have that right. Is that helped? I wonder, did that being a part of a collective help you at all adapt to the pandemic? And maybe you can talk just a little bit more about how a collective operates for people who are not familiar with that.
It actually did help. It helped us in securing cans. We didn't really, just because we're a collective, there's four breweries that can beer. We were able to secure a contract for cans. So there was a shortage. I mean, we have a contract for cans. I mean, we still have to wait a little bit. Sometimes there's a delay in getting the cans, but then the day we know they're coming. So, I mean, yeah, it helped tremendously. Just having that, being able to buy that volume all at once. You know, for four breweries, it definitely helped.
Sure. Okay. Anthony, I wonder, has the can shortage I've been reading about, is that something that affected Triptych at all?
Yeah. I mean, you know, we go through about 2 million cans a year right now. And so securing that amount is not something. We buy them a truckload at a time. It's 24 to 26 pallets at a time. And so it's not something you just call up one day and they send you down the semi-truck. And so like Javier mentioned, we've also had to start contracting our cans. So all of 2021's cans for Triptych are all like set in stone and have estimated shipping dates and all that. But the delays, there's still a lot of delays. There's still a lot of moving parts too. It just kind of adds a little bit more uncertainty to everything else. You know, there's a lot of uncertainty in general right now in a manufacturing business during a pandemic, but the cans then become even more important and more critical to all of it.
You know, I'm so curious. Forgive me, I don't really know as much about how the process works. When you order, I was struck when you said, was it 2 million cans a year?
Yeah.
That seems like a really big number to me. I don't know how it, you know, like Coke and Pepsi, if they're doing 2 billion cans or what, but
Sure.
How does that work? Or do you have to order them with the labels? Do you have to know what the labels are? Or do you apply those at your plant or how does that?
Yeah, so you either order printed cans that have like a paint job on them of a brand, or what's more common now, especially in smaller breweries like ours, is to have like a pressure sensitive labeling applicator at the end of the canning line. And that applies the labels in real time so that you can order just a blank can. And then you have flexibility depending on like what SKU is selling well or what SKU isn't selling well. Because in the right now, you know, one of the biggest things about craft beer is variety. And it's hard for you to pivot to new variety if you have you know, 40 pallets of painted cans of a brand that's no longer popular. And so most everyone in, you know, in our kind of size under 10,000 barrels a year is ordering these blank cans. And, you know, so even though the can manufacturers are making blank cans, you know, 24/7 as much as they can, there's extra demand. And then there's a lot of different political pressures. You know, during the previous administration, there was a tariff on aluminum, and that certainly didn't help things. And then recycling hasn't been kind of stop and go because of the pandemic and because of a trade war with China. And so there's just a lot of different things that all come into us all not being able to get cans.
Yeah, I guess you don't want to be stuck with pallets of pumpkin cans in the spring. let me ask you this. I wonder, a lot of people, Anthony, have you've seen, you know, just sort of at the individual level, people are experimenting with brewing as they were with sourdough and other things as people were spending more time at home in the last year. I wonder, was the pandemic an opportunity for you to experiment more than you might have in the past, modify your beer making process at all?
I mean, I think for Triptych, a big part of our brand's DNA is experimentation. So, you know, in 2020, even though there was a pandemic, we still managed to release 85 different beers. And so we kind of just have baked that into how we work. I think that experimentation and new things is kind of what like the cutting edge consumer is expecting. But I also know that during the pandemic, a lot of consumers were kind of falling back to things that they could rely on. They wanted to go to the grocery store. They didn't want to spend a ton of time there. And so they wanted to grab something that they were familiar with. And so flagship sales for us were through the roof as well.
Interesting. Interesting. All right. We only have a few minutes left in our conversation here. Nick, I wanted to ask you, what's it been like without being able to mingle with customers, right? Getting to hear their feedback in the tap room. I wonder, does that affect your process, maybe changing previous brews, how you make new ones?
Yeah. I mean, we always kind of like to release a product and then allow our customers to give us that feedback. Now we just kind of rely more on, you know, some different ideas that the brewers have when we're kind of formulating new beers, and then, you know, just kind of roll with the suggestions that come in from our staff at this point, really.
Okay. And Javier, same question to you. I wonder, as a relatively new business, was there a challenge involved in not being able to maybe communicate with people as much as you might have previously, once the restrictions sort of kicked in? Did that affect or change the way you were approaching your various brews?
Yeah, even in our sales, we, you know, we're barely a couple of months in, so we need to get in front of people, have them try the beer. So we're doing a good amount of tastings at liquor stores, grocery stores, and it was going well. And then once everything shut down, you know, that really hindered us being able to get out there, get our beer out into the public.
Yeah.
Definitely heard it for sure.
Okay. Well, I want to thank all of you for joining me today. We've been speaking with Javier Lopez, who is the co-founder and co-owner of Casa Humilde Cervecería in Chicago. Also Anthony Benjamin, the owner and operator of Triptych Brewery in Savoy, and Nick Bowes, who's the president at Bent River Brewing Company in Rock Island. Thank you all so much for being with us and sharing your stories with us today on the 21st.
Thank you.
And that is all the time we have for our program today. Before we go, I do want to make a pitch for joining our texting group. We hear interesting things from listeners. It does inform our coverage. You can join by texting the word TALK, that's T-A-L-K, to 217-803-0730. Again, the word is TALK to 217-803-0730. Special invitation for our new listeners on WVIK in the Quad Cities. You've just joined us this week. Why not join our texting group? Again, send the word TALK to 217-803-0730. You can find that number and our Twitter, our Facebook, all the ways to connect with us are on our website at 21stshow.org, where you can also subscribe to our podcast. The link is there. We're also on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, NPR One. Just search for The 21st. That's The 21st. Our program is produced by Anna Casey and Ryan Wild. Chantal Vaca is our engagement producer, and our interns are Zainab Qureshi and Brielle Skullark. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I want to make a programming note. We may be preempted in the coming days by the Senate's impeachment trial of former President Donald Trump. If that is the case, as I said, you can always catch up with us on our podcast and listen to past episodes. And you can find that again at the 21stshow.org. Our program is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening.